All right. John, chapter number 9. Was not going to preach this morning. Been back and forth. Now I said, I'll just go forth. All right, Lord, here we go. Amen. John chapter number 9, we're going to begin in verse number 1. Sister Denise this morning when she was singing, Don't Let Me Forget or Remember the Last, I don't even know what the song was, but it keyed me up. I said, okay, that's the one we'll go with right there. So, John chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
If you love your wife, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, wake up, y'all. We at church. Y'all act like we over at Dr. Land's, the dentist's office. Boy, I shake to death when I go in a dentist. I go in, you know what I tell the dentist when I go in? And I'm just honest with him. I say, I don't like you. Ask Dr. Land at Sullivan. I say, I don't like you. Nothing against you. I just don't like what you fixing to have to do. But I'm going to make you a promise if you'll make me a promise. He said, what's that? I said, I'll be good if you'll numb me completely. This morning I pray the Holy Spirit knocks that numbness off your heart and gets you where you need to be this morning with Jesus. And the Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he, and others said, he is like him. But he said, I'm he. And therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Hallelujah. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I don't know who's blind this morning, but I pray in the name of Jesus that you touch them. Lord God, that you give them sight to see this morning. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you. I thank you that you've allowed me this morning to stand behind this sacred desk and preach, thus saith the Word of God. Lord, whoever this morning that needs a touch this morning, as you pass by, Lord God, I pray you touch them. Lord, I pray they cry out this morning. It may be a mama that is at her wit's end. It may be a daddy that don't know what else to do. It may be a kid that just needs a little bit of faith, as Brother Hayden and Sister Kinsey was talking about. Just that grain of a mustard seed. Father God, I pray you give them faith. You give them the ability to step out and call on the name of Jesus. Lord, he didn't know who he was. The blind man had no clue who Jesus was. All he knew that he was the healer. All he knew that he was the helper. All he knew he's the one that can make all things new. And this morning I want to tell somebody that Jesus still can make all things new. Father, I love you. I praise you and I glorify you. Guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you, nothing about me. I pray you touch right now. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. This morning as we come, I want to talk to you about a little subject as Jesus passed by. If you look with me in verse number 1, the Bible said, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. You say, preacher, what has that got to do with anything? I see, number 1, the sensitivity of the Savior. I see that as Jesus passed by, he sees the shape that we're in. He sees what's going on in our life. He sees that we need a touch. He sees that we need a healing. He sees that we need an anointing. He sees what we can't see. And I'm so glad this morning that we got a Savior that can see what we can't see. Even though we can't see with our physical eyes, He can still touch us in a way that we need to be touched. If you'll look with me in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And I want you to look at what the Savior said. And Jesus answered, "Neither that this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him." This morning, can I say to you that we was all born sinners. We was born sinners, and we're sinners by choice. Not only are we born sinners, but we're sinners by choice. But there's things that happened to our life that I want you to know this morning that still moves the Master. This man had been blind from his birth. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know where to go. And can I say to you that the Savior still passed by him? This morning you may be blind right now and you don't know what's going on in your life. You don't know where to turn, and you may have stumbled into this building this morning, and I got good news. The Savior's in the building. He is still here this morning. And Jesus answered, "Neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Friends, can I say to you, you can have physical sight, but until you let the light of the glorious gospel come into your life, you'll always be spiritually blind. It is the marvelous light of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that opens our spiritual eyes. Open us up that we need salvation. Open us up that we need a change. Open us up that we need a resurrection. Open up that we need new. And this morning I want to say to you that when Jesus passed by, I see that he was sensitive in what he done, but I also see a sight sinner. I see a sinner there that can't see. He can't see what's going on. He can't see out in front of him. And look what he said in verse number 6. "And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle." I'll never forget, we was at Broken Lies one night over on Skyland, and it may have been Brother Eric with me over there, I'm not sure, but I was preaching this same text, and I'm telling you what, them men, they were rough and tough, and they were sitting out in front of us, and I was preaching, and they were looking about like you are right now, at me right now, and I said, "I want to know who would let Jesus spit in their eye, who would let Jesus spit on the ground and make spittle and put it in their eye. Who would let Jesus spit in their eye?" And some old rough, tough guy sitting in the back, a smart aleck if he would, he said, "If he'd do any good, I'd let him spit in both of them." Right then I knew that man needed Jesus. Right then I knew he needed God to touch him. Right then I knew he needed God. And I want you to know, I didn't let up. I just sat down on that text and I preached on when God spit in that man's eye. When he spit in the clay, he spit in the spittle, and he made spittle and put it in that blind man's eyes. Friends, you say, "Why did he take clay?" And that's what you're made out of, and that's what I'm made out of, the clay of this earth. And when he spit in that man's eye, he knew what it was to make him whole. This morning you may be broke, you may be broken this morning, but we got a Savior that knows how to fix us. Can I get an amen? He said, "But when he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and he made clay of the spittle and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay." You say he was healed then. Oh no, he had the answer, but he didn't have the healing. And here's what Jesus told him to do. He didn't only see the Savior, I don't only see the sinner, but I see the solution. I want you to know, in the world that we live in, you'll always find the Savior around the sinners. You'll always find the Savior around the sinners trying to give them a solution of the problem that they're in. The problem we got is we don't want a solution. We like talking about our problems. We like getting caught up in our problems. I'm not worried about the problem. Give me the solution. And here's what Jesus said. He spit on the ground and he made spittle and he put it in the blind man's eyes. And what did he tell the blind man to do? He said, "I want you to go. This man can't see. This man don't know where the pool is. He don't know where the water is. He's never been able to see it, Brother Riley. He has never seen this pool. This man's been blind from his birth. He's never had church. He's never met Jesus. He didn't know what to do." Hey, but Jesus gave him clear instructions. Go wash thyself. Hey, can I say to you this morning, you don't have to know everything about Jesus to get born again. All you have to do is meet him this morning. All you have to do is meet him and do what he says. And look what he said. "And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And you say, did he argue with him? No, he got up and went. I don't know who led him to the pool, but I'd like a friend like that, wouldn't you? I'd like a friend that would grab me by the hand and say, "I'm telling telling you you're in trouble and you're in a mess and you need to be healed and you need to be set free and the Savior's passing by. You might be a sinner right now, but you're fixing to come up a saint. How can I get an amen? Hey, you may be lost right now, but you're fixing to be saved. You might be blind, but now I can see. And you say, oh, what he did? He went that way. And the Bible said that he washed himself in the pool of Siloam. Look what he says here in verse number 7. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. He went and did exactly what Jesus said to do. He didn't skip a step. He didn't skip nothing. He did exactly what Jesus said to do. We have a hard time doing what Jesus says to do. We want to question the Bible. We want to question how close we can get to sin without losing our salvation. We want to know how close we can get to sin. There you go. I've seen heads pop up then. We want to know how close we can get to sin without losing our salvation. And then there's some saying, you can go all the way you want to go, and then you'll still go to heaven. I want to ask you a question. If you've ever met Jesus, why would you want to keep going the same way you used to go? Why wouldn't you want to turn around? Why wouldn't you want the Savior and get out of that sinful state and get you a solution in your life? I'm just asking a question. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to get a solution? Why wouldn't you want to get a solution in your life? And here's what Jesus told him. He said, go and wash thyself. Go and wash thyself. Why? Because there's going to be a change in your life. There's going to be a change in your life. We want to know how close we can get to sin, how close we can meddle in sin, how much we can play with sin, how close can we get to the edge without getting out of the will of God. That's what we want to do. We want to get to the edge. Yesterday we was in the creek and we was cleaning up a little bit, doing a little cleanup work, me and Brandy, and she was on the tractor. Oh my goodness, amen. And she was on the tractor and I was running the chain, and man, God started speaking to me. She said, how close can I get to the edge of the creek? How close can I get? And when she had screamed at, the Holy Ghost was telling me, that's what people are trying to do. They want to know how close they can get. How close can they get to the edge and still go to heaven? How close can they play with sin? How close can they play and still get in? Friends, I'm saying to you this. If you've been bought with the blood of Jesus and you went through the royal red blood of the cross of Calvary, you won't want to play with sin. Because it realized that how much it cost him when he hung on the cross. And I told her, I said, baby, don't you get too close. Don't you get too close, that bank will fall off and you'll be done. That thing will be on top of you. She said, I got it. And I said, by the way, there is a tree limb hanging up there this big around. And I said, whatever you do, do not get near it. It will fall. Hello? Do not get near that. It will fall on your head. And the day's over and we're going to the hospital. You understand? Simple solution. Just don't get by it. I'm talking to somebody right now. You know the sin. You know the problem. You know the pain. You know what's going on. Don't get by the problem. Stay with the solution. Don't get with the problem. That man didn't go back to being blind after Jesus touched him. That man didn't go back to being blind. His eyes was open. He knew what to stay away from. He knew where to go. I was down there hooking a chain around a tree. All of a sudden, I heard some, whoa! I looked up and the roof of the tractor was all the way down and she's up underneath it. She said, I think that limb fell. He said, I walked up there where she's at, Brother Eric. I looked at her. She just thought I was going to chew on her a little bit. Can't chew on that woman, she'd chew on me. I just asked her, I said, are you okay? She said, yeah, you think we can pick it up? I said, no, we can't pick it up. It's bent all the way down. Ain't nothing we can do about it. We'll just have to wait. Folks, you listen to me this morning. I come here to tell you, you watch how close you get to the edge. You watch how close you get to the edge. You watch how close you push God. You watch how close you get to that edge. I know there's a sensitive Savior. You listen to me. I know he's sensitive in what he does. But I know we're all sinners and we're in need of a solution. And this old boy, you know what he did when he got there? He had changed his life. He changed his walk. He changed his talk. He changed what was going on. And he started going another way. And when he came back, there was a change in his life. And everybody wanted to know what was going on. Everybody wanted to know what happened. Everybody wanted to know what happened in his life. I see the Savior, I see the sinner, I see the solution, but I see the same story. He didn't change his mind. He wasn't saved one day and lost the next. He didn't piddle over here one day and piddle over there the next. He stayed with God. He stayed with Jesus. He stuck with his story. Hey, I'm saved. I've been delivered. I've been set free. I'm not going that way no more. I'm going a new way. And everybody in town said, what's wrong with that boy? Is that who he used to be? I don't know if that's him or not. And he said, it's just me. I've just been with Jesus. Come on, somebody, talk to me. You can tell if somebody's been with Jesus or not. You can tell if they've been with the Father or not. Let me show you this in the text. I want to show you three times. This old boy, man, this has been on my heart this week. I've been studying this and something else. Man, this has been on my heart. I want you to look at this. And he answered and said, in verse number 11, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus, he made clay, and he anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I don't know. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. I want you to keep up with this word I'm fixing to show you again. If you're saved in here this morning, you don't have to be saved again and again and again and again and again. But listen to me. There's going to be times in your life that your salvation is going to, story is going to come up again and again and again and again. And people are going to want to know if you're saved. When somebody's out on visitation and they come to your house and knock on your door, they shouldn't ask you, do you know Jesus? There ought to be enough proof that Jesus lives there that they get in their car and turn around and go the other way because they know that Jesus lives at your home. Huh? Look what this old boy said. Talk to me, somebody. Look what this old boy said. Look what he said. The Savior, when Jesus passed by, I see the Savior's there. When Jesus passed by, I see the sinner's there. As Jesus passed by, I see the solution. But as Jesus passed by, I see the old boy's story stayed the same. His story never changed. When we was in school, Billy Collins was our teacher. He didn't teach us a whole lot, Brother Shea. Taught us how to drive a car. Not good at that. We didn't do a whole lot good. But he taught us something that stuck with me all my life. There'd be about 30 of us in his class, and he'd start over here every year, and he'd tell somebody sitting right there something in their ear. And they'd go around the room and whisper it to everybody else in the room. And by the time it got back to him, he had wrote down what he had told that first person. And by the time it got back around, it was nothing like it started. Why? Because people change their story. They change their tone. They change. Can I say to you, when Jesus touches you, you ought to be able to change. There'll be a change, but your story will stay the same. Who changed you? Jesus. Look with me here. We're going to stay on the words again. Verse number 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees in verse 16, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they say unto the blind man, again. They said unto him again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thy eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that he had received his sight. Let me give you this right here, what the parents did. And they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say that was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But you look at this story that's fixing to be told. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or what hath happened, opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents of age, ask him. Then again, won't you look at the agains? Won't you look at the agains? When his sight was given to him, he was alone. When he gave testimony who Jesus was, he was alone. Folks, there's going to be times you're not going to be in this building and you're going to have to testify who Jesus is all alone. You're going to have to stand on your own two feet with your own testimony, your own word, and testify who Jesus is. And again they came to him. I want you to get this. And again they called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Here's what this man said. He don't know nothing about Jesus, but he knows one thing. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. One thing I do know is that where I was blind, now I see. He said, "All you can't argue with that, not one bit, folks. You can never argue with what a man experiences in his life. He said, though I was blind, now I see. Though I was blind, now I see. Look what they said here in verse number 25. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And they said unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened thee thine eyes? And here's what he said. Folks, you can tell your story all over when Jesus passed by your life. And I pray he's passed by your life. I pray there's been a change. I'm going to say this right now, and it's going to blow half of you's mind. If you've never changed, you've never been saved. And I'm not judging anybody. The Bible says that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I come today to tell you that in the name of Jesus. Man, this has been laid on my heart. I've just been mulling. You know what mulling over it means? You've thought on it. You've just thought about it. And the change that comes in our life. And this old boy, he done met Jesus. And done, is it blind? He was blind, but now he see. And here's what they said. You know, some people would even doubt you. You just get too much Jesus. But if I was completely blind and I hadn't seen my family in forever, and then my eyes was open and I could see my wife, my kids, my family, son, I'm fixing to have me a spell. You know why we don't have a spell around here? Because we ain't seeing Jesus the way we need to see him. You get a hold of him, you'll have you a spell. You go over there to 2 Samuel when King David come out there in his ephod and they was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And he got out there and he danced before the Lord. Son, he was having a dancing party out there. He was up and dancing around, dancing in the street, having him a good old time. And there his wife sitting at home and said when she looked out the window and looked down there where King David was, said in her heart she had wickedness against him. In her heart she didn't like what was going on. In her heart she didn't like him praising. In her heart she didn't like that. And on down there, you know what she asked him when he come home? How did the king behave himself today? How did the king act in front of the people today? And she said, I saw you dancing before the Lord. And you know what the Ark of the Covenant represented? It represented the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of God. It represented God Almighty. And he danced before the Lord. And she said, do you know how you acted today? You embarrassed me. And he said, honey, if you think I've embarrassed you now, you wait a couple days from now. Folks, I'm telling you, some of you are going to be embarrassed when you get to heaven and you get dancing around. You get on that street of gold and you dance up one side and down the other. You said, I'm not going to do it. You will when you get in the presence of God. You will when you get in the presence of God. And that's what's happening here. This old boy's done got in the presence of God. He's done got in the presence of God Almighty. This morning I was at my house at 9 o'clock. Brother Shay, I ain't even got in the shower yet. I'm watching it on TV. Hey, that song that Kaylee sung, I ain't even got in the shower yet. They holler, you got to get ready. We're going to be late for church. I said, I'm having church right here. I called Brother Garrett Barnes up. I said, what you doing, son? He said, I'm just sitting here. I said, sing me that song. Sing me that song. Sing me that song. Didn't he walk on the water? He said, right now. I said, right now, let's go. Son, he started picking that song. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? Oh, son, he got singing that. Kaylee got singing that. I stuck that cell phone. I got one of them old goofy cell phones too. You can't even FaceTime anybody on it. Thing ought to be outreach, ought to be thrown away. Can't even get phone calls on it. That's a blessing. I stuck that thing down in my shirt right there. We just danced around that living room. I had my arm around Kaylee. We just danced. You say, you goofy thing. I sure am. I don't dance that old rock and roll mess now. That don't move me. That don't turn me on. That don't get me where I need to be. But you listen to me. When you start talking about my Father, you start talking about God in heaven. You start talking about I once was blind, but now I see. Son, he got to singing on the other end. He said, we just sitting around here waiting on church. I said, why do we got to wait on church? Let's just have church. And son, I'm telling you what, we danced around that living room and little old Michael there. I'm telling you, he told King David, that was Saul's daughter. Her name was Michael. He said, King told King David, he said, you've embarrassed me. You've made me look bad. He said, honey, if you don't like this, you sure won't like what's fixing to happen. Folks, you listen to me. I got a 21-year-old daughter, and she needs to see her daddy get happy in the Lord. Can I get an amen? You'll get happy at everything else. We need to get happy in the Lord. And here it is. I'm going to finish. I can't help it. Boy, ain't he good to us. Woo! I don't know what that did for Brother Garrett today. He may have been in a mullet grub. You know what a mullet grub is? That's when you're down and out. He might have been in that. That might have been for him, but it sure made me get alive. Here's what he said. He said, I done told y'all time and time again, and you want me to tell you the same old story all over again. You know, Sister Vicky, I love it. Yeah, we're good. You know, I when it's a good story, I love hearing it again and again and again. And Randy McCool is one of the best. He tells the same old story, same old junk. And when I'm down and out, you ask my wife, I call him up. I said, what about Cool Daddy? I don't know, brother, what you doing? I said, tell me that story again. Which one? I said, I don't care. Just tell me one of them. I know it ain't true anyway, but I sure like hearing it. Son, he'll get telling that story. I get to laughing on the other end. I done forgot what I was upset about. Why? Why? Because it does the body good. Look what this old boy said. He said, I've done told you now, and I'm going to tell you again. My story don't change, folks, Sunday in, Sunday out. Jesus saves. If you're blind, he'll change you. If you're blind, he'll save you. If you're lost, he'll save you. Won't you, glory to God, won't you look at this? Verse number 27, he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. He said, man, I'm trying to tell y'all the church folk, and I'm trying to tell y'all, I don't know the Bible. I don't know everything. And there's a lot more smarter people in here than I am. I know. Knows the Bible a lot better than I know it. But I'm telling you, you ain't been changed no more than I have. Ain't nobody in this room been changed no more than I have. Ain't nobody in this room been changed no more than I have. This morning we got a phone. I told Kayla, I said, sing that song. She said, I can't sing it like Garrett. I said, it ain't about Garrett. It's about the words. Get up there and sing that thing, girl. You said you made her get up there. You make your kids brush their teeth. You make them wash their tails. You make them come. Don't sit there like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You make them brush their teeth. You make them take baths. You make them wash their clothes. But when it comes to the things of God, you just do what you. That's like these. Sue said, right? Come on, Sister Vicky. You in here this morning. You hooked in. But when it comes to God, you know what Mom and Daddy says? Oh, they're on their own. You want to be baptized? All for it. I ain't going to hold you back, but you got to be baptized. I'm not coming to watch it. You want to go to church? You can go to church. I tell you to go to, but you ain't. No. Here's what she said. No, I'm not in it. Mom and Daddy said, I'm not in it because I don't want to get caught up in it. I don't want nobody to see me get fired up for Jesus. When, as he passed by, you'll either get on fire or you'll stay cold as he passes by. Don't you look? Is that not true? Folks, don't you ever stop the move of the Holy Spirit. If there's 27 kids getting baptized from the Awanas, you better get on board with the Awanas. Don't you talk bad about it. Don't you talk down about it. Don't you talk down about what God's doing. You get in line. You get in line with it. If there's 27 men of youth getting saved, you get in line with it. You encourage them kids. You get on board with it. Well, I ain't much of a kid person. Get to be one. You get in line with it. If the Holy Ghost gets moving in here, don't quench it. Don't quench it. It takes so much to get him stirred up in this place. Don't quench it when he gets stirred up. Look what he says here. Oh, Lord. He says in 27, he answered them, I told you already. You did not hear. Wherefore, would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? He told off on himself. And they said, oh, so you one of them disciples. Oh. If you'll open your mouth about Jesus, people know if you know him or not. It's not what goes in defiles a man. It's what comes out. Look in verse 34. And they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out of the synagogue, cast him out, didn't want nothing to do with him. They said, you're a sinner born in sin. Now you're going to tell us what to do? Cast him out. Moved him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Is that not good? Jesus wasn't there, but Jesus can hear it anywhere. I be careful what I let come out of my mouth. He hear you anywhere. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh to thee?" And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Can I say to you, you can get a healing and still not be a believer. Boy, some grunting going on in here today. You can get a healing. Don't go on that you've been healed means you saved. Just because you got a physical healing don't mean you saved. Lost folks get healed too. The moral of this story is don't let your gift overrun the giver. You worship the giver over the gift every day. We've taught a generation it's all about the gift and not about the giver. Christmas, you don't believe me? Think about Christmas morning. That tree's full of gifts. They don't look who it's from. They just want the gift. This morning, our gift has come from Jesus Christ. He might have healed you, but I'm asking you a question this morning. Has he ever saved you? Total difference. Total difference. And a healing and a saving. I know a lot of sick folk that leaves this walk of life sick, not healed, but saved. Healing don't mean you're saved. Saved means you're saved. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because the Savior passed by. He seen the sinner. He offered the solution. And that old boy's story was the same. I believe. If he'll touch you, you'll believe. If God touches you just right. But Jim, he gets down and wore that, I'm talking about down into the marrow and into the clay with his word. Born not of an incorruptible seed, but corruptible. Not corruptible, but incorruptible. By the blood of Jesus Christ, by the word of God. That fadeth not and perisheth not away. You get born again by that incorruptible seed, it'll change your life. And that incorruptible seed is the word of God. When Jesus passed by, the word of God passed by that blind man and changed his life. Ask you this morning, has Jesus ever passed by you? Has Jesus ever passed by you? When Jesus passed by, lame would walk. Boy, this morning, he just passed by this place. Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for the freedom just to preach this morning, Father. Lord, this morning there may be one in this room. I know the Savior's here. Lord, I know the Holy Ghost is here. He come in with me this morning. Lord, he came in with me this morning. But there may be a sinner there that's lost. That needs to be saved. There may be a sinner there that's blind that needs sight. Lord, this morning we got the solution, and his name's Jesus. Lord, if they've never met Jesus and never been saved, they don't have a story. But this morning, before they leave this building, they can get them a story. How Jesus touched their life, made them new, washed them in the blood of Jesus. Bless your people this morning. Have your will, have your way. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I do ask and I do pray that you touch that heart right now that's stony, that's hard. Lord, the only way the seed becomes unhard is it takes a little bit of water, soften it. Lord God, it takes oxygen. It takes the wind of the Spirit. Let that Holy Ghost blow through here this morning. Touch your people. In Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, I ask you to stand.